Welcome to episode 52 of the 3M Fear podcast. The Smurl family was a very close-knit family and they originally lived in Pennsylvania. Jack and Janet Smurl grew up in the area and they actually met each other in 1967. They then got married a year later in 1968. Both of them were raised in Catholic homes and had very strong religious beliefs. They were devout Catholics and they never failed to go to the church every Sunday. Jack was in the Navy, who then worked as a neuropsychiatric technician, and Janet was a stay-at-home mom. In 1973, after a flood caused by Hurricane Agnes, the Smurl family had to unfortunately leave their home in Pennsylvania. Jack's parents, John and Mary Smurl, bought a duplex in West Pittston for $18,000. They lived on one side of the house while Jack, Janet and their two daughters, Dawn and Heather, lived on the other. The family worked hard to fix up this house and decorate it for themselves. The duplex was built in 1896 and is located on a quiet street in a middle-class neighborhood. When John and Mary bought the duplex, they didn't know much about the previous owners. The 328 side was owned by an elderly man and had been empty for several years, while the 330 side was owned by an elderly woman who rented it out. Before buying the house in 1973, they did all the necessary checks to make sure that everything was fine. The plumbing, the lighting, foundation, termites, linens, anything and everything that you could think of, they did it. They wanted to make sure that the house that they were investing in was perfect. And everything seemed fine. There were no red flags or any immediate issues. As said, the duplex was built in 1896 and it had two separate sides with individual front doors. The family moved in during the fall of 1973. When Jack and Janet moved in, they actually bought the northern side of the duplex for $4,000. With Jack's parents helping them move into the new duplex on Chase Street, the family hoped that they could now have a happy start. Little did they know that their new home held dark secrets. The duplex became a nightmare, filled with demonic attacks, nightmaric visuals, and terrifying manifestations. The supposed blessing turned into a curse, and the Smurls found themselves in a world of darkness and horror. Hello and welcome to the 3AM Fear podcast. I'm Nikita Ferrao, mystery and thriller author. On this podcast, I talk about real crimes and real people. Due to the graphic nature of some of this content, listener discretion is advised. You can find the episode show notes on my website 3amfear.com. Let's get started. Despite the initial charm of the friendly neighborhood, the Smurl family realized that their new home needed some work. Eager to make it a welcoming place, they collectively put in efforts and they decided to repaint the house, do retooling, and make all the repairs that were needed. The house was slightly run down and they wanted to give it a fresh, vibrant start. Excited, they started work on the house. And for the first 18 months, they had the best time of their life. Jack would go to work and when he came home, he would find his wife and happy children waiting for him. They seemed to have the best time of their life. They even started contributing to the community and took part in activities. The girls participated in the softball league and the family even made sure to go to church and connect with their religious group. Alas, their newfound happiness would come to end in January of 1974. The family now started noticing strange and bizarre things that would happen. And there was no explanation to why these things were happening with them. Strange occurrences began to unfold. Initially, it was all too small. Tools would disappear, and a few hours later, they would appear. They would see old stains seeping through fresh coats of paint, and kitchen appliances mysteriously caught fire despite being unplugged. There would be unpleasant smell throughout the house, smell that would remind them of rotting meat. This smell would come and disappear as soon as it did. One fine day, a mysterious stain appeared on a new carpet. It was round and greasy in nature. The night that the couple found it, they used a cleaning solution on the rug and the stain came off. But 2 days later, as they came downstairs for their breakfast, they saw the stain once again. After that, days would be spent in frustration. The stain would appear, the couple would clean it, it would disappear, and sometime later, it would appear once again. They had no idea how the stain came to be or who was creating this mess. Eventually, they just got tired of cleaning up this mess and decided to throw the rug away. They ended up buying a new carpet and no stain ever came back again. But that doesn't mean that they didn't have other problems. One day, Jack's TV caught fire and the water pipes kept leaking despite them doing multiple repairs. Jack and Janet took special pride in how they had remodeled their house. They had installed a brand new sink and a bathtub. But one morning, when they woke up, they saw that their brand new sink and bathtub had been scratched beyond repair. It looked as if it was scratched by an animal. The freshly painted woodwork also had similar marks on it. In 1975, their daughter Dawn, on several occasions, came running to their bedroom screaming and crying, saying that she could see people floating around in her room. Every time Jack would get up, go to the room and see what was happening, and everything would be normal. Despite these odd events, the family just brushed it off. They were happy that they had a roof over their head and they just didn't want to bother with all these things. Because for them, all these things were not supernatural. Jack and Janet continued rebuilding their life. Jack was securing a better job and he also was getting a promotion. The children were now in a new school, they were excelling in their studies, while Jenna was pregnant with their fifth child. She was now contributing to an anti-drunk driving group at the local high school. In 1977, Jack and Janet were blessed with twins, Shannon and Karen. After their birth, strange things started happening in the house, and these things became more and more frequent. Toilets would flush on their own, footsteps were heard on empty stairs, drawers opened and closed by themselves, unplugged radios would blare suddenly, random cold spots would appear. In the early mornings, the couples would even hear their lawn chairs rocking on the front porch, and when they would go to check, no one was there. Something had happened a little prior to this. Mary, Jack's mother, had suffered a heart attack, and this left the family financially struggling. Whether it was due to the renovations or maybe some sort of a paranormal activity that was happening with her, we are unsure. But soon after that, Janet began hearing her mother-in-law's voice. Her mother-in-law was not dead, but she could still hear her voice. She would rush over to see what happened, and when she went to the house, she would see Mary either unconscious, sleeping, or completely unaware. It was as if she never called out, but still, Janet heard her calling out. Mary, on the other hand, started noticing some strange things on her own. She herself heard Janet call out to her, and when she went to check, Janet never did. Now, although all these things were happening with Janet and Mary the most, nothing was happening with Jack until one night when everything changed. Jack was sleeping when his sheets were pulled away and he felt dozens of hands grabbing him. He told his wife what he was experiencing. And Janet, who was now a mother of 6 children, including her 2 newborn kids, she told Jack that something didn't seem right. One fateful morning, with most children at school and the adults out, Janet headed to the kitchen. As she turned to the corner, her blood ran cold. In the middle of the kitchen, a translucent figure materialized, standing above a stain. Its hollow eyes stared, frozen in place, marking a terrifying encounter in the haunted house. Startled, Janet blinked, and the mysterious creature vanished. Was this the entity responsible for everything that was happening in the house? Janet didn't know. As time went on, she continued to hear her name being called out. There was this disembodied voice that would keep calling out to her. And this voice sounded a lot similar to her mother-in-law. But again, every time that she checked, it wasn't her mother-in-law. Desperate, Janet found herself truly alone. She had nobody who could help her out. Even if she did tell them her problems, they wouldn't understand because they were not hearing these voices. Oddly, the disturbances extended to the other side. Jack's parents, who were living on the other side, began hearing these violent arguments and screams. Sometimes, she could even hear the sound of breaking of items. She was concerned that maybe there was a fight happening in the house, or maybe there was something wrong and that Janet and the children were not safe. They thought that maybe the marriage was collapsing. Jack's father, unable to tolerate it any longer, decided to rush to the other side. But when he opened the door, he was met with silence. The entire family was peacefully asleep. There was no fight going on. In February of 1985, Janet, while doing laundry in the basement, heard her name being called, only to realize she was all alone. 2 days later, the house felt icy cold again, and Janet would see this black human-shaped figure with no face in the kitchen. From then on, the haunting activity increased in both frequency and intensity. A ceiling fan nearly killed Shannon when it crashed down inches from her on the night of her sister Heather's confirmation into the Catholic religion. As the activity increased, Jack and Janet claimed to have levitated on occasion. Jack claimed that one night he experienced a disturbing event when he was sexually abused by a succubus. This succubus had a scale-covered skin, the body of a young girl, but the head of an old woman. A succubus is a demon or supernatural entity in folklore. The job of a succubus is said to seduce men, mainly through sexual activity. At the same time, Janet reported being sexually assaulted by a shadowy humanoid figure referred to as an incubus, that is the male form of a succubus. Additionally, pig noises were said to be heard from the wall cavities. These incidents that were happening with Janet were quite similar to the attacks that happened on Carla Moran that was depicted in the movie The Entity. The family's German Shepherd, Simon, was repeatedly thrown. Rapping and scratching noises would echo through the walls, and one night, Shannon was tossed out of bed and down the stairs while sleeping. Neighbors would hear these screams and strange sounds that would come from the house, even when the Smurls were not at home. Despite all that was happening, the family still wanted to make it work. The neighbors were sympathetic. One evening, Mary had a chilling experience. When she was alone in her side of the house, she heard her name whispered. The voice was similar to that of Janet's. Intrigued yet uneasy, Mary followed the voice, only to be met by the same figure that Janet had once seen. The figure stood in the living room. A stain seeped beneath its feet. Terrifyingly, its mouth started to move and it mimicked Janet's voice, calling out Mary's name. Frozen in terror, Mary fled the house, seeking refuge with Jack and Janet. She was confused and scared. Following this frightening encounter in the kitchen, the Smurls decided that whatever was happening to them was not normal. It became clear that whatever was in the house was getting scarier and dangerous by the day. The next target was 7-year-old Shannon. While walking through the kitchen into the dining room, a large glass light fixture fell, injuring her and raising concerns for the entire house. As said, she was also thrown down the stairs, which left her in physical pain. One night, while awake, Jack discovered the source of his distress, a demonic being that seemed to be tormenting their lives. The start that they wanted in their life was now becoming a living nightmare. The demonic entity that had been tormenting the Smurl family escalated in attacks. One night, as Jack was trying to unwind by watching TV, a creature grabbed him from behind, slamming him onto the floor and repeatedly bashing his head into the hardwood before disappearing. This brutal encounter left everyone in the house terrified, unable to find solace in their own house. The family was now stuck. They had financial issues, so they could not leave the house, and the demons were not allowing them to live in peace. And so they decided that the best way was to find themselves someone to help. And that's when they reached Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed was a popular demonologist, while Lorraine Warren was a medium. Together, they were the founders of NESPR, the New England Society for Psychic Research. During the winter, the Warrens visited the Smurl family. After hearing their testimonies, exploring the house and experiencing the strange activity themselves, including the moving furniture and previously mentioned stains and attacks, Lorraine had a vision while she was inside the house. She said that they were dealing with 4 entities: an old woman held against her will, a resentful and violent younger woman, a man who had committed murder and was hanged 100 years earlier, and a powerful demon controlling the others. Now, Ed and Lorraine Warren are not your normal demon hunters. They are devout Catholics and Christians, and they believe in God. They believe that God is the source of all good and the devil is the source of all evil. I have done several Ed and Lorraine Warren cases so far. I'll link them all in the description. You can listen to the previous cases, including The Conjuring House, Annabelle, etc. But here, let me tell you a little bit about Ed and Lorraine Warren. Other than the small intro, Ed and Lorraine Warren believed in Catholic faith. They were true Catholics. They believed that if a house was haunted, then it was because the people living in the house were not devout Catholics. They didn't go to church that often, they didn't have faith, they didn't pray to God, and that's why the devil was targeting them. But to be honest, in the case of the Smurls, they were devout Catholics. They did go to church, they did believe in God, and they had their prayers. So why were they getting attacked? Ed went upstairs to the bedroom and then laid out all his relics, crucifix and rosary. And then the TV started to turn on and off. Things started moving around and paranormal activity happened before him. After going through the house, the Warrens were sure that something was wrong. They now believed that there were 4 entities who were torturing this family. With this information, the Warrens consulted Father McKenna, a Vatican-sanctioned exorcist with extensive experience. Although Ed Warren was a demonologist and Lorraine Warren was a medium, they never conducted any of the exorcisms on their own. They always had a priest with them. Now, Father McKenna did help, but despite his attempts, the activity only increased in exaggeration and hostility. The small family's condition got even worse. Jack and his father experienced horrific visions of a creature at work, while their daughter Karen fell seriously ill with a mysterious fever. The sickening presence visited several of the girls at night, including Janet, and continued to assault them. The physical attacks became more and more frequent. There would be scratches, cuts, bruises, bite marks, and God knows what. In a desperate attempt to help them, the Warren suggested that the family should go through a second exorcism conducted by Father McKenna. However, even this was not a success. The entities mocked and berated them during the ritual, and Father McKenna was almost choked and incapacitated for days after. Lorraine Warren said that there were different stages of possession. In the first stage, you basically have the entity tormenting the family, just letting the family know that it's there. By now, the entity had moved into its second stage, which is oppression. After this, there would be infestation, then possession, and then death. After the failure of the second exorcism, the family just wanted to take a break, and so they decided to go on a camping trip. They thought that if they could get away from their house, then maybe for a small period of time, they could be free. But unfortunately, the demons did not leave them. They were tormented even when they were not there. When they got back home, they reached out to a local TV show called People Are Talking. They wanted help, and so they decided that they would give an interview. They did talk about everything that was happening to them and then asked the public for help. Unfortunately, this too didn't work. Janet was once again hurled against the wall, and Jack encountered a terrifying creature one morning as he prepared for work. The monstrous being looked like a mixture of man and pig. It stood before him on the front door, screeching and rushing towards him. As Jack fell backwards onto the stairs, the creature snarled before disappearing, leaving him deeply disturbed. That same morning, Janet was awoken by a hand reaching up through her mattress, grabbing the back of her neck and pulling her towards it, choking her. The Smurl family found themselves trapped in this nightmare. They tried their best to ask for help, to do everything that they could. But this entity would just not leave them alone. By August of 1986, the Smurl family decided to share their story with the Wilkes-Barre Sunday newspaper, hoping that they could reach a wider audience and maybe ask for help. But instead of help, their home became more of a tourist attraction. People came in and everyone wanted to see, and most of these people were skeptics. They didn't believe that a house could actually be haunted, so all they wanted to do was come and see. Soon, the neighbors who once supported the family turned against them. They accused the family of making up this whole story because they wanted financial gain. Now, despite all the torture that was going inside the house and outside the house, the Smurl family was contacted by a medium named Mary Alice Brinkman. After walking through the house, she said, yes, there were three spirits, Abigail, Patrick, and his wife, and one powerful demon. Everything that the Warren said now turned to be true, at least as per Mary. The press coverage made Scranton Catholic Diocese to take action. They offered to do an investigation. At the same time, the Warrens also continued their efforts. They went and spoke to multiple priests, arranging a mass exorcism with Bishop McKenna. This was going to be the third time that they would have an exorcism. The ritual seemed to be successful, granting the family 3 months of freedom. However, just before Christmas of 1986, Jack saw the creature again. This time, he resisted. He prayed, holding on to the gifted rosary, causing the demon to vanish. But this was all temporary. The smell, the fear, everything was back. Frustrated and exhausted, the small family had now saved up enough money to move out from their house. Unfortunately, the demon was not tied to the property. It was tied to the family. As soon as the family moved into their new house, the cycle started again. The demon haunted them for years to come. This was the story of the small family. But here is where everything gets very tricky. Representatives from the Roman Catholic Church in Scranton were not 100% sure that the house was haunted. Multiple priests did go to the family to bless the house, but they said that they didn't find any sort of harmful activity while on the property. In 1986, an area priest actually moved into the house, waiting to see when the demon would attack. But nothing happened. He spent two nights in that house. Nothing happened and he left. Now this created a lot of doubts in the minds of people. Was that house really haunted? No one other than that family and the Warrens believed that that property was 100% haunted. In fact, as per the entire story that I told you right now, no one other than the family itself had witnessed the demon. The neighbors did hear something, but they never actually saw a demon. Now there was this person called Paul Kurtz, and he believed that this whole story was a lie and that this was more of a way for the family to make a profit. At that time, a book and a movie were coming out. So he thought that maybe the family was doing all of this for profit. He actually reached out to the Small family and the Warrens and asked if he could go and do an investigation of his own. He even offered the Small family to put them up in a hotel for a whole week so that they would be safe, and then he and his team could go and check out the place. But the family and the Warrens said no. According to them, he had already made up his mind that all of this was a lie, so allowing him to live in their house was not something that they wanted to do. Which could have caused more people to believe that the family was lying. Because if not, then why didn't they allow him to stay in the house? Now in a press conference in August of 1986, Ed and Lorraine Warren told that they had multiple recordings. So these recordings had those paranormal sounds, groanings and gruntings, and there was even a videotape of an unclear image of a dark mass moving about the house. Now when they were asked to produce this tape, they said that they could not produce those tapes because those tapes were already given to a TV company. The same year, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Parish in West Pittston, Reverend Joseph Adonizio, said that the Smurls felt that after intense prayers, things were back to normal. In 1987, Janet Smurl told reporters that they could still hear those knocking sounds and they even saw shadows. After the family moved away, Deborah Owens moved into the former Smurl house. And while she was there, she said that she never witnessed anything. The family was said to have been haunted until in 1989, when a church-sanctioned exorcism finally ended their horror. In the early 2000s, a tenant named Richard Lloyd was found dead from an apparent drug overdose. Jack Smurl died of diabetes-related complications in June of 2017. The Smurls always said that they were haunted, that they were suffering. But no one other than the Smurls actually witnessed anything. The Warrens, of course, told that they did feel like there was a presence, but no amount of exorcisms, at least until the last one, did not help get rid of the demon. Ed and Lorraine Warren, along with the Smurls, would go on to release a book written by Robert Curran called The Haunted. The book had everything about the haunting, how the family suffered, the demon, and everything related to it. This book would later be turned into a movie with the same name. Many believe that the Smurl family was not actually haunted, but they were actually faking all these things and that this was all for fame and financial gain. What do you think about it? I'm going to put up a poll and I would really love to know, what do you think? Do you think the Smurls were actually haunted? Or do you think this was all an elaborate scam just to get money and fame? A big thank you to all my fellow listeners who have been listening to all my episodes. Thank you so much. Your listens, your support means a lot. If you love my podcast, if you love the stories that I put out, then please do follow me on whichever podcasting platform you are listening from. And please do leave a rating. It will really help me a lot. You can listen to me on other platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcasting platform. If you are in India, you can always listen to my podcast on Gaana or JioSaavn. If you love to listen to strange and mysterious stories, then follow me on Instagram and YouTube, where I put out reels on such stories. These are completely different from the ones that I put out on my podcast, so do follow me on them. If you love travel, you can follow me on my travel channels. I'll link them also in the description. Until then, stay kind and stay safe out there.